The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
It is another Triple M Footy Fan Podcast, talking footy like you talk footy. We're going to chat everything round 22, of course, Legend of the Week. I'm going to ask which top four game was better, Chris Scott's bizarre Charlie Cameron rants, I'm going to put it, not just comments. What's going on in the South Australia department, Sandy and Ballantyne, the studs up free kicks, Supercoach stories? Yeah, I probably should read we'll get this rundown before we actually talk about it on air. And, of course, we're going to round it out with Flywire Doors. I'm your host, Rabs Warren, joined by Rudy Etzel.
Good morning.
And filling in for the half-computer, half-man, Ethan Meldrum, is Brisbane Nuffy, Will Ralston.
How are we, gents?
Good. How are you, we should say.
Where is Heater, by the way?
He's Japan. In Tokyo.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's gone to Japan. Yeah. It's a very normal time for him to go to Japan. Around 22 and 23 and during an Ashes.
Yeah, right.
He didn't even have to tell you where he was going, and then he let it up an Instagram story of arriving in an airport with, like, Nintendo characters everywhere. It's like, oh, you're in Japan.
Oh, right, you're in Tokyo. Yeah. I was going to say, it's not like that time he was sick on his girlfriend's birthday, is it?
He might listen to this.
So. I only bring it up, I'm sure he will. So. Brisbane Nuffy and
a happy boy.
Excited.
Happy boy. It's hard to keep. I haven't had a lid on for 2 months now.
No.
But, you know, it just felt like, when is this?
You're like the majority of Tupperware containers around Australia. You can't find the lid.
The lid doesn't fit. It's like a square one, and I've got a rectangular. I'm just wondering where this ride stops, to be honest, because it's got to stop somewhere, and I don't think it's a flag.
Before we go Legend of the Week, Rudy, I do want to ask you, though, Will, like, no matter what, so let's say you make final, well, you're going to make finals, you're going to finish top four, and you bow out in straight sets. Will you still look at this season as one of excitement and positives?
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. Sometimes in life, you get caught up in the destination. And you forget to stop and enjoy the journey. So many weeks this year, I've just been like, I should just relish this win, because we're not going to travel to Giants Stadium and roll them every single time.
Oh, you might now, because they're not very good.
Yeah, they're not very
good. I did like that metaphor, though. One time I had to fly to Brisbane for work in Grafton, and the destination wasn't great, but I did drive through Byron on the way, so you're right.
Exactly.
It's a great metaphor.
You've got to enjoy the journey.
You do.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm enjoying the journey, because we could very easily go out in straight sets. That's the reality. There's some very good teams around us, and I feel like our luck's going to run out.
The Gabatoir's back, though. So.
It is. It's pumping. A lot of close wins up there, though.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of those could have gone either way. I sound like a pessimist.
You do. You do.
I'm enjoying the journey, I promise.
You still even haven't mentioned Lincoln McCarthy yet, and you're doing a podcast with Rudy, so...
We'll get on to that.
What's wrong with your medical department? You can only get 20 games out of that bloke.
Well, we got... However many has played this year, minus 50. He's played his 50th, and I don't know. I don't know what it is, mate. He didn't even look that great with us. He was the one. Okay, we lost like him and Murdoch and like George Hall and Smith all at once, and the only one I was sad to see go was Link.
Yeah,
always liked him.
Everyone said that. I remember you telling me that on trade day when we got him.
Yeah,
like, oh, that bloke can play.
Yeah,
I'd literally never heard of him, and now. And then up until three-quarter time, he was anonymous. He hadn't done a thing.
He only did one thing, and it was pretty bloody good.
Oh, that's seriously Gabba folklore. That is like one of the most iconic moments ever from that stadium.
I messaged Will after the game, and I was just like, bloody hell. And he goes, oh, you know, surely you don't mind losing a game that way. I was like, one of our former players taking mark of the year and kicking the winner with 2 minutes to go. Yeah, I think I can find some faults in that, actually.
Pretty good. Still running the widest 11 in the AFL.
He is, yeah.
McCarthy. He's got to narrow it a little bit.
Oh, yeah. The
number on the back of his
jersey. No, he's running the narrowest 11.
Is he? Oh.
Yeah, it's Rockcliffe that runs the wide one.
Yeah. Right.
McCarthy's one's almost touch. He's almost wearing a one.
It looks like it's just a single block of yellow. It's just a rectangle. Anyway, we discussed the issues here, obviously.
Welcome back to the Triple M Brisbane Lions Fan Podcast.
Yes. It's hard to go past Legend of the Week with Ruffy.
Ruffy, came back for his farewell game, kicked 6-1, was it? And they were just taking the absolute piss out of Gold Coast. Blokes were just hitting him up wherever he was, and they just knew he'd beat whoever he was playing on and just kick the goal. And it was good to see. When he kicked his first goal, I think it was the second of the day, when they all got around him, it was good times.
Mm.
And that photo from the Hawthorn rooms of him and Hodgie and Lewis and
Buddy
and stuff. Yeah, that was cool as well. Mm. It was just nice, man. Like, it's not easy to be positive towards Hawthorn, But yeah,
no, you like, find exceptions for blokes.
Yeah, like, but Ruffy's an absolute legend.
It is
nice to see him go out like that.
How good are those games where it just feels like a exhibition match? It felt like AFL 9s. It was just like, oh, where's Ruffy? There was no
It was the EJ Witten game, essentially, wasn't it?
It really was.
All we were missing was Hutchie selling candy to Ryan Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Expecting Ruffy to be wearing a Suns jump and then rip it off. And, oh, no!
Russell Gilbert is
Well, he's put the Hawthorn jersey on.
Seriously, it felt close to that.
It did.
Question, though, does Michael Riscatelli get a farewell game? That's a big question now that he's announced his retirement. I don't know if Stewie Jew's got that much
I don't even know
sentimental.
If he does, they play the Giants. So, possibly.
If he does, not sure he'll kick six.
Well, he kicked their first goal of the game last week.
Risker?
Yeah.
Much more Suns than me.
Good for him. We can't not mention Tony Armstrong as well. He became the first Aboriginal person to call a game play-by-play on commercial radio on Sunday. The game you produced, Will.
Yeah.
How did he go? Is he good?
Oh, he smoked it.
Didn't get to listen to those. Yeah.
Fits straight in. Natural caller.
He's a legend of a bloke too, isn't he?
He is, and he'll get many more games in the future.
I love it. He's like, oh, that's absolute milk. And it's like he called it like a 29-year-old.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was cool.
If anything, he overused milk in the first quarter. He was really keen to get some.
He used pure milk. And I'm like, you got to give like at least Zimmel or skinny milk a go. Yeah, like, you can't just get one brand.
It's milk that tastes like real milk.
Yeah. No, but he was sensational.
Like a real kick.
But like he's a 29-year-old former AFL player. To his own credit, says I only played 38 games or something, so I don't have the credits in the bank. But he calls the game like a 29-year-old, and like it's so relatable as well.
Yeah.
So
and it felt very on brand. Mm. I didn't realise he was two game Tony until the day before the game. He was the bloke that played in the VFL and the AFL the same day.
Funny you say that, because on Dead Set Legends on Saturday morning, he said he was that dirty and that filthy having he played VFL that weekend because he got dropped, that after the game he went and unloaded on Maccas.
Before the AFL game.
Got a call up from Buck saying, we need you to back up and play AFL. And
Pendles
like,
has gone down.
God, I've just absolutely smashed like Macca D's.
How'd he play in the AFL?
He reckons he only wanted to like just... Yeah, he was a sub, so he only wanted to play a little bit.
He wasn't a sub. He played all. He played all
because someone went down injured real early in the first quarter.
Oh, right.
In like the first like 4 minutes, we had two injured on the bench.
That's
and he had to play.
I do remember that.
Oh, that's tough.
So that two game Tony, he's a guru, but Ruffy is our legend of the week. We move on to we've already spoken at nauseam, Will, about the Brisbane game. Geelong. But Richmond West Coast, that was another barnstormer. So out of those two, which game do you reckon was the best top four off?
Richmond West Coast, because it's more likely to be a prelim or a granny.
It felt a bit higher standard, didn't it?
And the first half did. That once the rain kicked in, Richmond, their machine just switched on.
Yeah.
Richmond in the wet at the G.
They choked West Coast big time.
Yeah.
After quarter time, I was there as a punter, and West Coast looked terrifying.
Yeah.
They were five goals up at quarter time, and they were just moving the ball with gay abandon, really. Like Willie Rioli just like dobbing those little dribbles from the pocket and stuff. And I was like,
Jack Darling kicking two in the first quarter, which is the most front-running thing ever.
The first like 2 minutes. Yeah. They kick, I think it was their best first quarter of the year. They kicked seven goals.
They looked unreal. But then, like you said, it kind of switched and Hardwick stopped. Like the players stopped kicking the high ball into the forward line, and all of a sudden you take away West Coast's ability to intercept Mark, and the game changes, and the rain comes.
Yeah, almost instantaneously. As soon as the rain started falling, West Coast looked at sea.
Poor old Tom Barass.
Yeah. Barass.
Yeah, Tom Barass. Oh, no. Tom Barass and Luke Shuey also turned the ball over a heap in that. In those third and fourth quarters. They tried to play dry footy. It was real weird. Trying to like spot up targets, and it wasn't really working for them.
They think they'll go on for their sixth or seventh in a row at the G, the Eagles, and they only just got pipped, which would have been the best record for an interstate side ever.
Mm.
So, like, let's not discount the fact that they are still well and truly in the premiership.
And they lost by a goal.
Yeah.
They were up, or they were even very late in the contest.
They were smashed for three quarters and lost by a goal. And could have won. Like, Willie really didn't hit the post late on.
Yeah.
That game was massively on.
Yeah.
It was awesome to watch. It looked a complete different. Like, you had the Melbourne-Sydney game on on Friday night, which and then you had that on Sunday, Arvo.
Howie mentioned a marked difference. Howie mentioned during the call, it was almost like a different sport.
It was almost like a different sport.
Very different. The long range forecast also has Richmond playing in the wet this Sunday.
Danger bells. But I've got to say, those two games probably made the Friday night game, the Adelaide-Collingwood game, the North Melbourne-Port Adelaide game, the Essendon-Fremantle game, and the Bulldogs-GWS game, and the Hawthorn-Gold Coast-Suns game, kind of like the light wasn't shed upon those shit games as much.
Yeah.
But there were some real pox games of footy still again this weekend.
Yeah, it was funny. The Suns last week lost by 90 or something, and they didn't even get an article written about it.
Same as Melbourne, though. They're getting away scot-free again. They didn't kick a goal for 2.5 against Sydney, who are also a bad team.
GWS haven't kicked a goal in the last 2 second halves. And they're the first mob to do it since like university or something in 1911.
They didn't even look like it against Western Bulldogs.
No, they didn't. And they didn't really look like it against Hawthorn the week before either. They're just stinking up a final spot at the moment, GWS.
They're decimated by injury, but that is kind of, I don't know. Yeah, they're going in the motions. You kind of feel a bit sorry for them and their 16 fans. But we're already talking about Richmond. So let's talk about the studs up free kick. The AFL's already come out and basically changed the interpretation instantaneously after all the drawback, which I think is probably the right decision.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because people criticise the AFL for, just change the rule if it's a bad rule, but then it's like stick to your guns or you're changing the game too much. I don't know. It's a bad look, isn't it?
It's vintage AFL to create this new rule, and then as soon as it starts getting used, they're like, no, not like that. Whoa. Like they just make these rules on the fly and then these like very foreseeable outcomes surprise them. It's really weird.
But to be fair, the rule was brought in so players wouldn't block space with their foot, which is kind of dangerous if someone's running back into it, not someone taking a hanger, which Jack Reel had done his whole career, uses his feet to get a bit of leverage and almost push the player with his feet forward so he can take a semi-hanger out the back.
Yeah.
He's done it his whole career. To get pulled up on it, and he was filthy, which is hilarious, by the way.
But, a Jack Rewalt sook is it's a next level
it's
sook.
Like, but where do you rate it in like terms of sooks? Like for me, a Chris Scott sook is well up there.
Yeah, both the Scott brothers, the open eyes and like
the gesticulation.
Who else loves a
Richo?
Good sook?
Back
Richo,
in playing
Richo
days.
Was the original and the best. Yeah. Like the BT, I imagine, was the original and the best.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, current day players, it's Rewalt.
Rewalt by Flemington Strait. I did see a tweet from Mark Robinson, and he's like, it's a terrible decision. What if Richmond are down by 5 points in the last quarter of the grand final, 30 seconds to go, and Jack Rewalt takes that mark and umpire reverses it? I would love to get a mathematician, statistician, to find out the probability, the mathematical probability of that scenario actually happening.
It's always the extreme. What if in the last minute of a grand final?
Come on, mate. What's going on in the South Australia department, boys? Both teams, it's like Adelaide stink it up and then Port Adelaide go, hold my West End.
Yeah.
We're going to do it worse.
Well, I reckon there would have been a few giggles had amongst the Port people when Adelaide got done by 11 goals at home. And then I reckon they were probably not smiling at quarter time. They got destroyed, Port Adelaide.
I'd love to hit up, Swamp Thing. Yeah. At Sir Swamp Thing. Is that the worst performance that has seen an increase on your ladder position?
It has to be.
Adelaide goes.
Yeah, it has to be.
By 11 goals. It's phenomenal.
Their worst loss at Adelaide Oval ever. Mm-hmm. And
was it really?
Yeah. And they went up a position.
No, they're just outstinking each other. And the funny thing is, neither of them will make finals now, will they? Is that the situation?
Well, they need some stuff to go right for
them. If Adelaide beat the Bulldogs and West Coast beat Hawthorn and Port Adelaide either don't... But it's weird. So Port Adelaide need to either lose or win by less than Adelaide.
Yeah.
So that one of them could make the finals.
But if Adelaide beat the Bulldogs,
There's not much point in either of them making the finals, are they?
Port Adelaide and Adelaide are equal points and equal percentage.
Yeah.
So you
can really see one or two finals going 80 plus this year, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Whoever plays GWS has a free pass to the semis.
And whoever finishes fifth.
Whoever plays Essendon as well, actually.
What if it's like GWS Port? When a stoppable object meets a movable force.
Well, there won't be anyone watching it.
And then like the Bulldogs might finish. The Bulldogs finish outside the eight. That's pretty outrageous
as well, isn't it?
Clearly in the top like six sides in the comp, really.
On form. It's
just
like,
don't lose to the Suns, like, though. If you want to make the final.
Or Carlton. Yeah, I would have thought.
Mind you, the minor premiers lost to Carlton.
Well, the current minor premier.
Current minor premier.
Port, I tipped North on Saturday night, even though Port were the favourites, because I was like, judging by what I'd seen this year, I was like, there's no way they're going to win a third consecutive game. They can't do it.
Yeah.
It's hard enough for them to win two.
they're incapable.
They're so flaky. I reckon that we might see two new coaches in South Australia next year.
Spare a thought for poor old Nick Larkey, who's probably had the greatest game of his career, kicking five.
Suva.
And no one's talking about Suva's game because Ben Ten's kicked 10.
Yeah, I actually didn't catch Suva's game. I wasn't aware of that. There you go.
He kicked five. He kicked three in the first quarter. Both of them kicked three in the first quarter.
He kicked a bag in Tassie recently as well.
He's had a pretty good year.
Good little team, North.
Yeah, they're decent. I think
last week was a bit of an aberration against Geelong.
Yeah, well, they were just badly beaten. Really.
Speaking of little, Hayden Ballantyne played his last game for the Fremantle Dokers over there, as well as Big Sandy. And they had their own sort of unique way of chairing each other off.
That was gross, wasn't it? Yeah. So there'd been all that talk all week about who was going to chair off, like, what, Sam Jacobs, was it? And then no one was really talking about Sandy.
Who hasn't retired.
Yeah,
I think he was having
he just played his 200th. Yeah. And then there was all this talk about Sandy. There's none of this talk about Sandy, I should say. And then he just put Ballantyne on his shoulders and
wasn't it great?
Carried him off. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Particularly in that retro jersey as well. It looks sick.
Why don't they wear that constantly?
Yeah.
Like, maybe not full time.
It was like, I'm old enough to remember when they first actually wore it as their home and away jersey. And I thought it was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
It actually looked better. That was better than the original.
I agree. I think there's something about it that looked cleaner.
Yeah.
I think it was a darker green.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe like, that was
the,
it.
The colours were really bright on it and it was like
actually, yeah, you're right. It did look gross back in the day, didn't it?
But how good 1990s jersey ever.
How good was the Cam McCarthy old school?
I was just about to bring that up. Awesome. Now, you sent that to me and I thought that was all real merch that they were releasing. But from what I gather, it was just like stuff they'd found around the office and they took a photo.
I thought it was real merch they were releasing as well. I thought that was their way of announcing it.
Maybe it is. Are we just uninformed?
Maybe they're just putting Cam McCarthy on the market. They're just like, if anyone wants him, he looks good in retro gear.
I thought it was just an ad for Retro Round, but regardless, they should those rain jackets. What are they, windbreakers?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not from a cold place. I'm from Brisbane. And, like, I would have bought that, and I have no feelings for Freo. I'm completely neutral to Freo.
Supercoach stories, Rudy.
Yeah, this is, like, we mentioned Ruffy off the top as a legend. So, you'll like this. One of my mates, all my mates play Supercoach, but one of my mates was in a comp where he'd made the grand final. I think he'd been the best team all year. The top prize is $1,500, right? And he's gone in pretty confident. And the other bloke that he's playing has picked Jared Roughhead. He's just rolled the dice on him because he thought, oh, Gold Coast, he might go well. He's kicked 6-1, Ruffy. My mate's lost by 2 points.
Oh,
2 points for $1,500. That's brutal.
So this wasn't just a one-off?
No, it was a grand final.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They'd made it.
Yeah, that stinks.
That stinks. 2 points. because like Gold Coast are a training drill. Hawthorn is taking the piss.
Like, it's literally like betting on the Harlem Globetrotters.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
He just rolled the dice that Ruffy would score big, and he just what did he get? Like 108 points or something.
It's no
just
idea. $1,500 as well. Whew.
Do either of you play Supercoach?
Yeah. So I'm in. It paid $50 to be in a league, so $900 winner takes all.
Yeah.
I scraped into the eight by 0.1%.
Nice.
Not 1%, 0.1%. I'm now into the grand final.
Oh, you've Bulldogs.
And favourites, because my projected score is like 300 more than the other guy. I'm like, how have I done this?
How did this happen?
I don't know.
Did you make any trades?
Yeah, I made a couple of trades. I got one left. $900.
Yeah.
My mate goes, if you win, I'm delivering the money to you in cash at the pub so I can get some of it.
That's a good policy, isn't
it?
Yeah. Mate, well, you just better hope the Clarko doesn't pick Jared Ruffhead this week.
are you a Supercoach man, really?
No, not really. I played it like a couple of years, but I found that I would get like insanely invested in it to the point where it's all I thought about, and then burned myself out. And by round six, I just was like, couldn't deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
It was just taking over my whole life.
I don't like watching footy and watching players. That's why I don't do it.
I've got a mate that, like, I've sort of put a line through watching footy with him anymore because he just barracks for his super coach players, and it really gives me the shits. I'll be like,
awful.
I'll be there watching him, like, you know, I watched the Geelong lose to the Bulldogs with him this year, and he was like barracking for Toby McLean. And I was just like, mate, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. Like, please stop this.
That's horrific. That's
it was really annoying.
Barracking for like Pauline Hanson. It's like, well, of all the players. Duck, Toby, duck. it's the same reason I don't like tipping, because I like barracking for underdogs when I'm watching footy.
Yeah,
I don't like, come on, Hawks beat the Suns.
See, I like tipping because I can bet, I can tip on the other side when Geelong's in a 50-50. I tipped Brisbane on the weekend because I knew that.
Right.
I was like, oh, they'll beat
hedge.
Us. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I can get some kind of pleasure out of it.
You can do that with money as well.
Gamble
responsibly. Do you have a betting partner?
Most
podcasts industry.
We don't have any partners.
No.
This is the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast, talking footy like you talk footy. We are going to wrap this up with our Flywire Doors, a segment that we completely did not borrow / steal from Damien Barrett. Will, if you're not aware, it's pretty much sliding doors.
Yeah.
So we say if, then, and I'll start. I'm going to double down on this, Rudy. I did say this 2 weeks ago, but...
Should I have prepared anything?
Maybe a little bit. If the Bulldogs even just rock up to Mars Stadium against Adelaide and Ballarat, then between Josh Dunkley, Jack McRae, and who's the other guy?
Bond.
Bond?
Are we talking good Bulldogs players?
We're talking about Josh Dunkley, Jack McRae, and Lockie Hunter?
Lockie Hunter. Yeah. They're going to have 275 possessions between those three blokes.
Oh, you're talking about the stat picks.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, they've got a few, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, since when did Dunkley become...
best player in the AFL.
Sixth best player in the AFL. Dunkley?
not Kyle Dunkley.
No, not Kyle.
Josh.
No, Josh, good on him. He's exploded.
But yeah. Between those three players, then they were going to have 275 possessions between them, and they're going to smoke Adelaide, by the way. Adelaide just don't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
It's over.
Is it going to be cold?
Find a new sport. Probably. It's Ballarat.
Yeah. I was there earlier this year. It's a chilly place. I don't know if it's colder now.
It's in like a crevasse.
A crevasse.
It is. It's always foggy. Yeah, it is. It's in like this little...
It's low.
Yeah. It's real low. It snows in Ballarat.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Two snow games.
Mm.
Rudy, you got one.
I do, yeah. I was just going to say, if Richmond need to lose to play Geelong in round 23, I think you'll find that they'll find a way to lose.
I don't know how
that they can do it, but they must. Like, Richmond will be aiming to play Geelong
Rudy's
in the first week of finals.
Rudy's convinced. He's got his tin hat on. He's convinced that the AFL are going to manufacture a...
No, not the AFL, Richmond.
Geelong versus Richmond first final Geelong home game at the MCG. Like, he's just convinced it's going to happen.
Is that what happened 2 years ago? No, it was a prelim.
It was a quarterfinal. We finished second, they finished third.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
we played them on their home deck, and they spanked us, which will happen again, and that's fine.
We can't
beat them. Like, if we play them at the G, they'll just spank us. That's
But what a great little insurance policy for, like, Collingwood and Richmond. You can just finish fourth and you might get a home final.
It's
really handy.
You finish anywhere in the top six and you're probably going to play on the G.
You're a really big chance of playing on the G. You can finish anywhere.
Well, don't be from interstate.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Well, Geelong
or Geelong. Have you got one, Will?
No. I'll do, like, a classic Damien Barrett one.
Right.
It's just like... If Marcus Adams isn't the best finals recruit of 2019, then, well, he is.
Okay, well, there you go.
How good was he? I don't know if you saw.
I've noticed him, yeah.
Apparently,
he destroyed.
Eric Hipwood said that Marcus Adams eats 12 eggs for breakfast.
Yeah, he would.
12 eggs? That's a dozen eggs.
You're right, it is.
That's a whole box.
Yeah. Like one of those boxes.
It's
a carton.
He's a jet. He's going to be
a jet. He destroyed Don Morgan on the weekend.
That's it for another Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. Round 22 is done. Next week, we're going to be chatting the final home and away round.
Final countdown.
For the 2019 season before a break and then a bit of finals. Make sure you keep it locked in to Triple M for round 23. Collingwood versus Essendon, 6 p.m. Friday night.